Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
I mean, you mentioned that cup run. I can't envisage how tough it must have been playing that Sheffield Wednesday game.
Oh, yeah. That was tremendous. It was really, you know, like everybody was up for it. Mm. Of course, it was about 60,000 inside, and I think it was another 60 outside.
Yeah.
It was, and they never stopped, you know. They kept at us on the way, all the way through, helping us, you know.
I mean, how did you cope?
We managed.
I mean,
I was fortunate because I was playing quite regularly in the reserves, you know, so, I mean, I had three games that year with the side that was killed, so, you know, I had a little bit of experience there, so, but I was also, I mean, playing in the reserves, I had a, you know, tremendous help because I was internationals around me, you know, people who dropped from the first team before, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really nice, you know. That was a great, good experience from there, you know.
Yeah, and Big Duncan, you mentioned he used to see you in the reserves and offer advice.
Yeah, he was a marvellous fella. I mean, they all were. I mean, you had Roger Byrne, he was a good club captain, you know.
Mm.
But they never, ever let anybody down, you know.
No.
They never snubbed anybody, you know,
yeah.
Youngster, you know. They always encouraged the youngsters, you know.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, with the 50th anniversary coming up, it must be an emotional time for all of you.
It is, you know. Over the years, you get to live with it, but, you know, it's still there, you know.
Yeah.
It's still there when you think of it, the players were killed by, you know.
I mean, I interviewed David Sadler to talk about, you know, Sir Matt coming back. I mean, it's just an incredible story that Jimmy first, you know, keeping it going, and you, the players, and Sir Matt to achieve the European Cup 10 years afterwards.
Oh, yeah, well, it was always his dream to do that, wasn't it, really? It always was, you know. He always wanted to win that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you also mentioned the emotional responsibility on you. You know, you say if the disaster hadn't have happened, you know, you might have stayed the whole career at United. So
I always think that, and I always believe in that. You know,
it must have been a heavy burden on you to cope with that at such a young age.
Yeah, well, it did a way, but you make your mind up. You see, I mean, I made my mind up a long time ago. I wanted to join United. Father didn't want me to do it, but when we go to Burnley,
yeah.
But my mum, God rest her soul, you know, she says no. I didn't want you to go trawling. She says, so he doesn't want to go there, so that's it.
Yeah.
Let him go where he wants to go. It's his choice.
Yeah.
And I was just determined, you know, you have a couple of years or so there, you know, to see, you know, well, sometimes you want to get a year, you know.
Mm.
And you know all the youngsters there, like, you know, it's come, like, you know, and I just wonder, I said, well, I'm going to make this.
Yeah.
I'm going to see one or two go, like, you know, they're nice lads, you know. But whether they might thought, well, maybe it's not, you know, they're not just quite right for them, like, you know.
Yeah.
But I was determined right from the center of there, so I'm going to, this is club I want, and I'm going to make it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tremendous goal-scoring record you've got. I mean, how would you describe yourself as a player?
Oh, I just love scoring goals.
Yeah.
I just loved it.
You say that anything got in your way, you know, you just...
Oh, yeah, I mean, it was just... I mean, no, not, I didn't hurt anybody, you know, the goalkeepers, and then as it came out, I mean, you had studs in your chest.
Yeah.
That was part of the game, you know.
Yeah.
That was part of an interview I did 12 years now ago with Alex Dawson, and really moving words. And I have to say, the two interviews I've done, well, a few have stood out, but two with babes of that period, Alex Dawson and Eddie Lewis. And they were both such nice, nice gentlemen who gave up their time, were willing to speak about anything. So it's sad news today. And it's Red News Podcast 84. And I'm joined with, God, I've got a cough, it's not corona, God, Nathan and Shane. There's only three of us because Nick's gone AWOL. I think Martial's form has driven him, so he's actually driven to the lakes tonight, and he's not having it. He doesn't want to debate. Now Marshall's getting good. I worked a quick stat that Andy, who does the stats, came up with, that not comparing Ronnie with Martial, but Ronnie in his first four seasons got 50 goals in 190 games. Martial got 48 in 174. And in the changing fifth season, Ronnie obviously got 40 goals or plus, and Martial's got 22. So I think for now, I will say the two things for me in Martial, when he got subbed at Villa and sulked, I thought that is brilliant. You know, we keep saying we want to see emotion. We want to see, we want to... That and watching the highlights of last night, 46 minute, and I think it's Lindelof who brings the ball out, and Martial beckons him, come on quick, get the ball quicker. That's the sort of thing you've been wanting him to do. So this is, you know, he is brilliant. It's just brilliant to watch. So all our concerns are moans for now. We're happy. And what I loved about yesterday, I thought it was a dirty win. And I loved sometimes dirty wins. You don't play that well. It's a real war of attrition game, but you come up on top. And for all our moans about De Gea, and I thought Ollie came out afterwards and said, that's why he's the best goalie. I think Ollie still wants De Gea here, and then maybe Henderson competing. But from the noises that Henderson's making, he's only coming if he's number one. But I love the dirty win. So, Shane, how do you feel about dirty wins?
Yeah, well, it sounds like I like dirty. No, I thought it was a big win, a really big win. And I kind of thought after the Southampton game and where we looked a bit off it, and I thought the Southampton game, funny enough, we got bullied a little bit. You know, the referee let a few things go and that gave them license. But I think Southampton game, I thought, and this team's still a bit fragile in that department. I thought we let them bully us and, you know, we were kind of on the back foot a little bit, looked a little bit tired. And then the same seemed to be happening a little bit at Palace, but we ground it out. And, you know, people can be critical that it was a bit of a poor performance. But, you know, under the likes of Fergie, you know, everyone would say that's a sign of a good team when you've got resilience and a bit of class to score two cracking goals when you probably, that flatter you a little bit in performance. I thought that was really good. I thought Rashford was superb, personally, for me. I thought he really was good second half.
But he looked good on Monday, so he's hopefully, he's whatever, whether he's just not hit, been at the races fitness-wise or whatever. But Monday was it? I'm losing track of bloody days. Monday Southampton, wasn't it? He looked, and his goal looks better and better that turn. That's world class to have the ability to not just take a punt, to know, beat, and three men are just fucking
have the confidence to do that. Yeah.
So Nathan, are you still in the bosom of optimism?
Yeah, I think Monday was, they played very well. I think they did so well in nullifying Pogba and Bruno, and like, we did well to, in a way, we did well to get a draw out of it. And then I think last night was one of them games where a few months ago we wouldn't have won. And I think it like you say, it's one of them. It's a dirty win, and I think we've all got giddy because of winning 3-0, 3-0. Like, you know, we've won these big games. But it's games like last night that, where it's not like you ride your luck. Like, we probably should have conceded a penalty. We were very lucky with that goal that was disallowed because of the offside. But, you know, we ground it out. And like you say, it was two good goals that were the difference. And it was good.
I mean, like, we have got giddy, but I would be devastated to lose. And I'm saying top four, you know, because we're not going to win the European Cup next year. But what it does is you don't go fifth to first, or you don't go fifth. No. You go fifth, build, get better players, build, hopefully target third, second, and who knows next season. And I would be after writing it off to get into it. But I woke up on Tuesday not feeling as down about the result. It was a kick in the bollocks, and it was like, fucking hell. But I didn't feel like there was a post-mortem that you think, hang on, we've got to remember, we're not going to... We all get carried away, don't we? That's what a football fan's about. But we're not going to, we're probably not going to win the next two, but I think a draw and a win will be enough. And realise from where we've come from, Southampton was also a little bit of a reminder, you cannot switch off. And the 10 men didn't fucking help, did it? Shane?
No, and I thought, yeah, the only, a little bit of an alarm bell, the Palace game, I guess, you know, looking forward to semi-final and that. I thought the midfield went missing for a big part of that game until Matic come on. And then, you know, that was a bit of a concern. As Nathan said, Southampton had kind of sussed out how to nullify it as well. But generally, yeah, I think the Southampton game, you've got to look at it as, okay, we got ourselves into position, we've only got to win three or four games and we got fourth. But in the wider scheme, it's a really impressive run. And, you know, we're getting really pissed off because we drew a game.
Yeah.
Before, those are the sort of games, as Nathan said, we were losing. So that's a sign that we're progressing. We're now getting annoyed that we just dropped a couple of points in a sequence of wins rather than we've
and lost. Sometimes I want to put the halt on it because, you know, like, I was excited. Oh, he's playing the same team again. But clearly they look tired now, and Monday was the opportunity to mix it up because, you know, how you can turn around, we were all writing Matic off, but now he's integral and he came on last night and looked really well. But we haven't, we think we've got a fixed 11, but we haven't really, because Greenwood needs a rest. He's played too many games. So it's almost like you get carried away. Oh, yeah, that's his number 11. That's not Ollie's first choice number 11, and we shouldn't kid ourselves. We are still three players short. So you try and choose the best combinations. Like sometimes Fernandes and Pogba as well.
That's why, like you were saying about getting top four is so big, is because that's where we finish in the results of the next two games will be pivotal as to the calibre of signing that we'll be able to bring in over the summer.
Yeah.
Saying whether it'll be Sancho or whatever, that is going to be totally dependent on the next two games.
Yeah.
And then we then kick on from the start of next season with those new acquisitions or whatever to then go for the next level, don't you?
Yeah, but then, you know, Nick's had this optimism that Ollie's going to go to the board and get what he wants, and I don't think that's going to happen. So how are you...
I think there'll be one signing. I don't think it'll be all three that we need.
But it needs to be a really good one.
Yeah.
You know, again, like Vic, I thought Maguire's got unfair stick because... I think he's taken a bit of a hammering unfairly. He does make the rickets, but it's almost like, oh, Maguire's not... I do think he needs a better partner with him. And like Zaha, when he ran against Fit, that's where he worries me. They're up that and in the air. And I don't think we've solved that conundrum.
Well, we said that the last podcast on it. I think we all kind of said if we had one signing, it would be a defender. And I think that showed again the last couple of games that, you know, the midfield is starting, you know, whilst it's still not always functioning, it's much improved with Bruno coming in, and Pogba seem to be thriving with that, with Bruno in the team. And then up front, it's all clicking together. And it's, you know, if there's one blip at the moment on this run, it's the defence is a little bit shaky.
But credit where it's due, you know, to Pogba. I mean, come on, how many times have we slagged him off? And it does seem, whether that's because of the finances of the teams he wanted to go to, that it's a new contract is now not just possible, but probable. But when I have a piss, I think about these things. And I was having a piss yesterday and I thought, we sometimes forget he had a cozy period with Jose for quite a while. And it only came to chatter like around that Spurs game where he publicly lectured him, and then it started to fall apart. So we have had these periods where Pogba is content. It's will that maintain itself? That's for another day, you know.
I think it just totally depends on how the team's playing, yeah, isn't it? I think,
but isn't the world a better?
Before, I think
the world is a better place.
Is a fair weather player, isn't it? Like if things are going well,
yeah,
then he seems to be doing well, and if it's not, then he's nowhere to be seen, and he's been, as you know, he's been disruptive or whatever.
But it makes me happy that we're not having the same old moans, you know, we're not having the same gripes.
It's the same way that Nathan talks about top four being pivotal to attracting top top players. Like around Christmas time, I'd had enough of Pogba. It's not worked out. We're better off getting rid because of those kind of moods. But now
I think we all were, weren't we?
Yeah, but you were quite late to that, Nathan. You were more forgiving, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Because then the proof is.
I was forgiving at the time that Mourinho went. Because I was so anti Mourinho. I was saying I was willing to give Pogba another chance, thinking it was all Jose and not Pogba. But then when Pogba had that sort of mini renaissance at the start of Ole, and it was like, yeah, he's back on form, but then he dropped off so dramatically again, it's like, that's just Pogba as a player, isn't it? And I was like, he's had his second chance to then, okay, yeah, that his time's up. But yeah, that's the thing with him. It's like, now he seems to be, he wants to do it again.
Yeah. Well, I love it. The greatest thing of a football fan, we're not fucking, you know, but they're not paying us money to be experts. We can get it wrong, and it's good to be wrong, especially when it comes and kicks you up the arse. There's nothing better than saying, you know, oh, Martial this and that, than seeing him hit this form and think, I've been proved fucking wrong. That's the greatest feeling, apart from what's that, the silence of Nick. Listen, where's Nick's view on this? That's now, the silence.
Yeah. And I think with Pogba, like, I'm starting to, I've changed my mind. I'm thinking, well, actually, if we keep this Pogba in this team, that if Pogba goes, we need to buy a midfielder.
Mm-hmm.
And Pogba stays another season, that relieves that burden.
If we get this. But we have had these periods before. That's where my caution comes into it, that we have had these periods before. That, and you sign a contract and then you get into, you know, but that's for Ollie, like, we watching the reruns with Albert cheering because he loves Martial, so he's cheering, and I'm going, he has actually scored again. It's not a piss take. I'm not saying he's going to score, and he does. But my missus said, Ollie looks like a baby still. And we've said it a few times, but he looks so young now. Things are his common decency. I'm so happy that we could potentially be on a bit of a crest of a wave in the next month with Ollie in charge, with his decency. It makes me buzz.
Whatever happens with Ollie, I'd love, this is going to sound like, I think fourth place is important for the reasons Nathan said, but, you know, we're accustomed, I don't want to become an Arsenal fan for fourth, but it's big for me. I want it for Ollie more than anything, but I would love to see him win a cup. You know, I think,
yeah, 100%, I would love to.
Yeah. It'd be fantastic for him.
But I'd be, yeah. I mean, there is the feeling, you know, for us not to be there. How have you felt in the last, any change in your feelings about behind?
I'm finding it quite hard, if I'm honest with you, but I think that last night's game was the first time that I kind of stopped being conscious. You know, Palace, we'd usually be there, a decent away, have a beer up in Borough Market or somewhere, and I kind of obviously missed that. But I think last night was the first game that I kind of accepted it, and then I just relaxed and watched the game, and I got, you know, it felt like it really mattered to me last night, so that's a good sign. But yeah, obviously still miss it, and I've got no idea when we'll be back or how that will work, if it's partial crowds. But yeah, it's really sad to be missing this, what is much more entertaining football. That's a sad thing, and to be in, you know, be in the run. We'd be all going to Wembley on Sunday. We'd be thinking of the final sort of rounds of Europa League. Do we gamble on flights for the final, etc.? You know, all of that. This is what it's all about, isn't it? But being following your team.
Yeah, well, it'll be, you know, finals. Sunday be a tough one. But on that, you know, Boris and his go to games, don't go to games, go to games. That's a bit of a Matt Lucas piss take. But I think, speaking to a couple of people, I think Wembley might be the trial. They were talking about this 3 weeks ago, but it's still between 10-25% for Premier League, 30 maybe lower leagues. Fuck knows how you do that.
I think England announced a closed door game. I think England, did they not announce a game in October, and they've already confirmed it's closed doors?
Right.
And I think that, because someone had said to me this, or on Twitter said that, you know, it's because Wembley have just decided it's not, just not cost effective to try and run a stadium for.
But I just don't know, you know, like a lucky ballot, and how will people feel if you've got five? That's for another day. That's for another day. What do you think about De Gea?
I kind of think we've got to, it would be foolish to be kind of ignorant to the fact we've got to replace him. So I think it's, you know, I think he's definitely got at least another season in him for us. He's, you know, he's a top class keeper, I think. But if, let's say Henderson was ready and he's top class and we risk losing him, you know, there is a decision to be made. But my view on Henderson is that if you want to be Manchester United goalkeeper, you've got to be willing to come along and have a season of fighting for your place.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And if you don't want to do that, well, sod you, we go elsewhere.
I don't think De Gea is as good as he used to be, though. I don't know what that is.
No, I
completely agree with that with Shane. It's like, if he's dedicated to want to be at the club, then take that season and fight for it. And it's...
That would be no harm, arrogant.
I don't know if it's arrogant or whatever to be expecting to just come in and just take over when you have got De Gea, who has, you know, won like pretty much everything.
Yeah.
And
you'd probably get 15 games like that next season and try it anyway. What are you drinking, lads?
It's a Manchester gin and tonic.
Oh, nice.
Oh, Manchester, my mate.
Nathan knows the bloke who runs that. Nathan, what are you having?
Yeah. Hop House 13.
Oh, no. I'm on water.
I had a Guinness before, though. It was amazing. It was beautiful.
I went out. We went to Mates of the Misses last week, and it was like the first outing. So I was really the whole thing with the taxi wearing the mask. And they were all ready for, like, this is the first time we've met in 4 months, anyone. And I was like, not in the right place. And I was just, but I must have taken everyone aside and talked Corona and gave him like a dressing down about Corona, that I was just fucking like, it's hard though, because I'm a quite a sociable person and I found it really, it threw me. So I ended the night singing United songs in the street, as you do. But I thought, take next Friday off, Barney. Have a break. But it felt weird. My first encounter with people, and it's like they obviously, understandably, just wanted to have a party. And I'm thinking, but I've just got in a taxi with a mask, and like, what's the etiquette about any of this now?
Yeah, I'm finding it a bit weird, isn't it? Because I knew most of my life is built on, you know, outside of, you know, I work in a busy city, commute, packed trains and tube, that's gone away. And then, you know, weekends I go to football, which is going to cities and visiting places and seeing lots of people. And after 4 months away from that, even just going into the local shops and interacting with people feels weird. And that's a bit of a sad reflection, really, on the whole thing. But yeah, I desperately miss the social side of football. I think that's kind of really hard.
I'm fucking an anxious fuck anyway, but I do think there'll be massive mental health repercussions from this. What we're asking, and understandably, do you want to know the Corona facts? No, but I don't know. You're asking people to do something totally alien to them, and how we get through that. I've got a couple of other tangents before we get. I hate fucking Day of the Flies. Can I just say those little bastards? We had Day of the Flies here the other week. The other day.
And
the little bastards were everywhere. I read about
the flies or the flying ants, and it's, you should respect them, Barney. It's one of nature's kind of wondrous little events.
Is it true they only live a day?
I think so, but it's
What's the point of that?
If I think it's them bringing new colonies to make, you know, to make new ants and new, yeah, it's a big deal.
Great. Must remember to come back as a flying ant for a day.
They just have a day of flying, don't they?
Oh, it's not that they drop down dead. I always thought they just dropped down dead.
Go and have a big one and then die. Yeah.
Oh, right. I thought it was like, we're here for a day. Go a bit mad. Go to ant pubs.
Yeah.
They go to ant pubs, they get a bit pissed, and then they fucking drop down. Right, the other thing, did you see Usain Bolt named his kid Olympian Lightning Bolt? So this got me thinking about achievements you could name your kids. Well, Ginger Steve's just had a kid, lovely. Congrats, mate, one of the sellers. Named his kid Iris, lovely name, but I thought he should have named it Kebab, really, if you were going Usain Bolt route. I could just name mine in a gutter. Shane, what would yours be?
I don't know.
Debbie Harry.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Yours, Nathan? What's your achievement? Tinder.
Well, I suppose that'd be like Brooklyn Beckham was named after where they were conceived, so I guess it makes sense.
And here's another stat someone put on the forum. You'd have seen this, Shane. So Schmeichel faced 19 penalties. How many did he save for United? This shocked me.
19?
Yeah. How many did he save?
That seems two.
One. And just, none just in the Premier League. He never saved one in the Premier League unless someone's taken the piss out of him.
Oh, in the Premier League. Okay.
And David De Gea has faced 31. How many has he saved for us?
I can't remember him saving a penalty.
He saved five, but none.
Yeah, I feel like I remember.
None of the last 16 in the Premier League. So there you go. There's some stats. Right. You had, Shane, the Ollie fist pump back last night when we scored both goals. You sent a photo, which was very erotic. So you're feeling vindicated because you were backing him to the hill all the way.
Yeah, well, I just think it's... I think it was ridiculous to call for his head when two kind of experienced managers in Van Gaal and Mourinho tried to kind of rebuild United in the context of the ownership and where we're at and failed miserably. You've got to remember, Ollie inherited a basket case. And I don't personally expect Ollie to lead us back to kind of title after title, European Cups, but I think he's building us onto a better platform to be on back on the right direction. And, you know, I think it's one of the things we're all missing is the football, but I'm missing it particularly because it's the first time in a while it's really exciting to watch the forward play. So.
And had something to, you know, like some of them would have been great aways or homes, wouldn't they? We'd have been well happy. But there are moments, going back to that football fan delirium, where I suddenly start thinking, can you imagine what a league would be like with him? I know I'm getting carried away, but can you imagine?
Oh, it would be absolutely...
It's nice to dream, especially during all the shit.
What I think, obviously, it won't be the same without fans, but I think for him, just to have a kind of... Just to bag a trophy will be good for his momentum, confidence, uh-huh. and as trophies are. But I just love to have the legacy of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer holding a trophy, you know.
Yeah.
Great thing, you know?
He will deserve it. So Sunday, what the fuck does he do?
Yeah. I don't want to make... Have they got... Like, they've had... First of all, we looked a bit tired. You know, Wan-Bissaka looked tired, for example. They've had a couple of days more rest, haven't they? So I think that's...
Yeah, but they're not in quite good form, are they? They're not in really... As we saw at Sheffield United, they're a bit...
So in some ways, I thought that second goal for us... Because obviously the confidence and the pressure... So we went out of the Palace game on a high, which I think is good to get that momentum going back in. It's kind of one of those for me. I'm a bit 50-50. You know, I think it'd be fairly evenly matched teams.
But he's got to rest someone, but I don't want him to rest too many. Like Greenwood, I think, needs to be on the bench to maybe come on. But I will say, like, watching clips with my boy, Greenwood's finishing has been fucking unbelievable, his goals this season.
Sorry.
And the Brucey bonus.
We've said this for a while, but it's... On another level, isn't it?
Nearly everyone is an absolute belter. Again, Rashford, our goals this season.
Someone said to me the other day, it's like when you used to be able to play on FIFA and put a cheat in so that they kick it harder. It's ridiculous.
Get that VHS ready to sell of this season's goals. I'm all over it. But yeah, who does he play?
Than I've seen for a while, and he gets the ball, he gets his shot away really quick and hard. It's quite basic, but it's an instinct that like you only see in strikers now and then. It's good stuff.
Who does he play then? I think Lingard's going to come in, but I don't want him to make seven or eight changes.
Yeah, I think in a way,
do you think it will be wholesale changes?
Yeah, I think Ollie will be worried.
Games in mind.
He'll be totally fixated on. He'll want it,
But then, but at the same time, do you not think Chelsea are going to have to do the same thing because of their situation?
Yeah, and they're playing Liverpool, so I'd love to just...
Like we were saying the other day, like I said before, about apparently if both us and Leicester win next week in our league games and Chelsea lose to Arsenal?
Yeah.
Lose to Liverpool, sorry.
Yeah. We can afford a draw.
Us and Leicester could both draw in that last game with each other. And
yeah,
both
yeah, but I wouldn't trust Brendan Rodgers with fucking anything. Can you imagine? Don't trust that fucker 5 minutes to go doing a deal.
Yeah,
North Hardy, he's a little shit. Don't trust that fucker.
Johnny Evans, he'll sort out.
An own goal. But yeah, like.
But that's what I mean.
I just desperately want to win on Sunday.
Players, but Chelsea are in just the same situation, really.
They could
just as easily miss out as us. So
I just want it. I just want to win it. You know.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a sad reflection for me, really, as a obviously not as a Mets going fan this year, but genuinely as Mets going fans, we would always value the FA Cup and the day out, and we'd seeing your team win a cup over kind of like a fourth place is always. Would always top it for me. But I think in day and age, that fourth place and the money and prestige and everything that goes with it's going to be the priority. So I think he will rest. I think it'll be kind of a bit of a hybrid. It play what you know you generally call a cup team. So I'm assuming Romero will come in.
Yeah,
the likes of Lingard, but yeah, hopefully he'll keep enough.
Well, keep Martial, Rashford. Keep especially Rashford, you know, in the form, Martial in the form, go. But I mean, we've taken the piss out of the Arsenal mentality and the dirt, you know, the dirtiness of you targeting fourth. But as I said earlier, there's a point why this one's so important. The club see it for importance, obviously, from a Glazer level. But for us, what this would do for us and the achievement from where we were after Burnley is fucking... I forgot to ask you, Gomez leaving... Is anyone asked? He just went, wasn't it? It wasn't even an announcement. It was just he's gone.
Yeah, I don't feel like there was anything that we saw him fleetingly a few times. It was there was obviously I don't watch like the under 21 games and all that as much as other people, but there was nothing that. When he had a chance on the main in the main picture, there was nothing that made me think, "Oh my god!"
Yeah.
You know.
But the people who sometimes rave about
Greenwood as the comparison,
yeah,
like he came in and he has taken his, he has forced himself into this first team. There's nothing that he did that was like he needs to be here.
But the people who were watching him, but this shows that you can be at a level and then everyone thinks that you're. Quality, but when you go up to the next level, but people were raving about Gomez a couple of years ago, going his technical ability. But obviously, it might get giddy. I don't know, it's like Chong, you know, I've not seen enough in Chong to think you have to keep the player on for another year, see where you can get if he goes on loan. But I've never seen anything in Chong to make me think he's lived up to the hype. Whereas Greenwood comes in, Rashford comes in, Norm comes in, Hughes comes in, you know, straight away they are fucking. They are the real deal.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's one of those things. It's time will tell. But I think the fact that no one, as Nathan said, if you compare some of the other players like Rashford, you would have been after a couple of appearances and then he faded back. He lost because other people come out from injury. He left. You'd have been gutted. But I don't feel the same way this time out.
Right. So we're all happy still. Is there happy faces there, or have I fucking beaten it down? I haven't even given you any Corona stats yet. Wait till you go out for me with a drink, and I'll just be there nodding my head, Corona, Corona, Corona.
The only time for drink is to get away from that talk.
All right, Shane, make me feel fucking better. You should have seen their faces.
Going out for the first time in 4 months, and you're telling them how much risk they've got.
I'll empty those busy pubs in a fucking flash. Right, so final thoughts, you two. Come on.
I think we're gonna. I'm gonna be optimistic. We're gonna win on Sunday. And we're gonna get top four. I think we've got momentum back with that Palace win, and I hope he doesn't rest too many because I think
okay, there is tiredness, but when you're this close to the end, adrenaline and momentum's everything. And if you've got confidence, I think that's half the battle. And I think we got confidence. So pick the players who are confident and on form.
Nathan?
Yeah, pretty much the same. Looking forward to it. Gutted that we're not being able to go, but it's that's how it is. And
maybe we'll all meet up and have a session for the final.
I do think we'll win on Sunday, and then on to the next one, and then this time next week will be
Nathan. Where is this new Nate optimistic United Nathan come from?
I'm just like Pogba. Like if we're doing well, then I'm all over it.
All right, on that note, I will say thanks to everyone. We've got 2 weeks left of the sub campaign. I know you're all bored of it. I'm sorry that I keep putting a plug out every day, but if we're close to target, and if you can support the next mag, and I'm hoping you'll all get a nice surprise with it that we're planning. So please order the mag if you can't subscribe, but keep us going if you can, because we want to keep doing this. Thanks all. Right, you two, predictions. I'm going extra time, 2-1 United.
I hope not. I'd love no extra time.
Is there extra time?
Yeah.
But I'd rather win with extra time.
Is there extra time? I don't even know.
So.
Or is there 18 water breaks? And does extra time get half, like 7.5 minute water breaks?
we'll be an ignorant of that. I'm just going to go 2-0 in normal
time. Right. Nathan?
1-0.
Yes. We got 3 yeses. Cheers, lads. Have a nice Friday. Thanks.
All right.
See you later. Bye.